ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
Oh! Are you kidding me?
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
NBA Draft triple header in the NBA all day long. Major League Baseball. What a time to be here for the best hour of your day.
Right.
It's right here. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Kevin. It's Donnie. Booyah! Big night, Kevin.
Sure is. You just reminded me to find a baseball play of the day. I almost forgot.
Sure.
Is there a big whenever I hear you laughing, I get worried. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on now.
I'm watching the Boston game. Looks like a triple drives in a run. So Boston gets a little bit closer, Kevin. 5-1 here in the afternoon. Bryce Harper comes back off paternity list. What does he do right away? Just like every dad does. Bang! Puts one right into the seats,
yeah.
Kevin. Exactly. That's just the way it goes down. Just the way it is. But how excited are we? The draft is in Detroit tonight. And I got to tell you. From a draft analysis, Kevin, this might be one of the more exciting ones we've seen in a long time. The intrigue is there. Even in one of those years that it's like, yeah, we have a clear-cut number one. There's like no issues at number one. But yet, this draft seems like it could be sensational on night one.
Yeah, I'll give you a good reason why, Donnie. Look, just from the outside end of it. For someone who for you is like, I don't really care about the draft. Because there might not
be a... Well, see, I care about the draft. I just don't care about betting the draft, if we say that.
But I think you are more captivated by the storylines.
Storylines are great.
Donnie.
Yeah.
My point is, Donnie, there's a world where not a single defensive player goes in the top 10.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? We're talking superstars. We're talking Sunday prop guys, right? Roman Dunze, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., those are guys that you're going to be looking to bet anytime touchdown scorers on a bunch, right?
Yes.
When you take a look at Caleb Williams, there's going to be people that have MVP tickets on the kid. Drake May, season-long total touchdown passes. Lord knows Donnie Wrightside's lining up the Jaden Daniels season-long rushing prop over. Might run for 1,000. So it's one of those situations, Donnie, where I'm talking about, and I'm just with you, I know what kind of catches your interest and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive superstars pique Donnie Wrightside's eye.
Yeah. I'm going to enjoy this. And how long I will be up today, I don't know. Because here's the struggle. Your boy's got to be in studio tomorrow, which means a 3 a.m. wake-up call. Philadelphia 76ers in the game of their season tonight, which is a must-win. Would love to catch as much as I can of that. And also, it's not as if the Philadelphia Eagles are drafting second, and that's their only pick, and I see who it is, and I go to bed. They're drafting a bit down the board, which means that draft starts at 8 o'clock. It should be a late night. I got to tell you, the setup is right for me tonight, though, because sometimes you say to yourself, I can't stay up on a Monday. That crushes my entire week. I don't really have anything planned too much for Saturday and Sunday outside of, you know, going to a kid's soccer game and whatnot. There's no week. There's no Sunday NFL show I got to drive a couple hours to get to. So it's one of those where I actually plan on being up late tonight and just toughing it out tomorrow morning, which I do have a long day, but it's a Friday. You could see the end of the, you know, the race at that point. So there's a lot of good stuff tonight, but a lot of fun, and we'll get to it all, which does include the NBA. And before we get to tonight's games, Kevin, Miami Heat going to Boston and beat the brakes off of Boston. Now, I know it doesn't look like they beat the brakes with the final score. It just feels that way. I was so impressed by that Heat squad. Has no business winning any games in the playoffs. Like, watch this. We're going to shoot three-point shots. You're not going to be able to deal with it. We're going to knock down an incredible amount, and we're going to walk out of here. That was the series that you thought would have been 4-0 sweep after game one and every game by 20-plus points.
They're the best. I think the starting point here from you is the appropriate one. This conversation should not begin with clowning the Celtics, as tempting as that is. This is about a Miami Heat team that breaks the mold. You know, we're kind of coming off the heels, right, Donnie? March Madness. You know, the jokes, ooh, you don't want to see Izzo in March, right?
Correct.
Because it's a one-off situation, and coaching can make that much of a difference in March, right? You are not supposed to rock up to the NBA as the eighth seed and scare the crap out of the best teams in the league. How many times is Miami going to knock off the one? Now, look, Boston still very likely closes this series. Mm-hmm. They just have a lot here. They are a very good basketball team. They are. And Miami is without their top guy. But the best part of it is now, the one win. It wasn't just, hey, look, man, tip your cap, Miami gutted out one at home. There's only two teams that have lost a home game so far. The title favorites and Doc Rivers. So that is one of those situations where Miami is just incredible, man. They are absolutely incredible.
Now, we got a quadruple header planned in the NBA on Saturday. The reason I'm bringing that up and not tonight and tomorrow right away is because the betting public goes, all right, FanDuel's going to be like, oh, 7.5 favorite for the Celtics. Oh, no, it's up to 9.5 already. Because that thought process that everybody has is, you got our attention now. It's time to end this quickly, and you're not going to even get a sniff of, oh, my goodness, we could take a 2-1 lead here, and maybe Jimmy comes back for game 7 or whatever it might be. That is a massive number. But from just an aspect of a handicapper and a gambler, like, we got to enjoy this stuff. And this is why I say I love the NBA first round. Triple headers, quadruple headers, double headers. Pretty soon it's going to be like, oh, man, it stinks. No game tonight on a Tuesday in the NBA playoffs. Like, I love this. And every time we avoid, Kevin, a sweep, that's the chance to have a triple and quadruple header. So I loved what the Miami Heat did last night. That was fantastic stuff across the board to watch that play out. But also, game number 2 last night, OKC, I like it. I like what I'm seeing now. And I thought it was like, you know, Pelicans can probably keep this close, and it doesn't matter how big you win by. As long as OKC gets the W, they'll be fine. This has one of those team feels for me, Kevin, is they weren't the eighth seed. They weren't the set. They were the number one seed in the West. But I think outside and maybe even inside going like, yeah, we were the best in the regular season, but can we do it in the playoffs? Close win game number one. Last night they go, just watch our starting lineup just tell you, we don't care what the deal is, we're smoking you tonight. Loved what I saw at OKC.
Yeah, I thought they looked awesome. I will say they didn't draw a matchup that is going to completely calm the let's see how it looks in the playoff conversation, because New Orleans is missing their best player and it is not a postseason proven bunch. Mm-hmm. But what you want then is to see, you know, a level of domination, right? You want to see that team look good in those spots, and that's exactly what they did after kind of getting the, you know, game one battle out of their hands. And that's the thing with the NBA playoffs. It is so tricky to not overreact and overbuy into the thing you just saw. And I think there's a lot of people, DRS, who very likely saw, You know, the Pels hang by, oh, man, OKC's in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
You know, the spread dropped. Yes. If I'm not mistaken, I think every single spread for game two went in the favor of the team that won game one. That's a lot of overreaction, you know? And you ultimately had the Bucks lose, you had the Clippers lose, you had the Thunder bounce back and cover, the Lakers ultimately bounced back and cover. So you saw some swings here overall in these series.
Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible stuff at that point, and I'm enjoying it here. And again, a triple header, and it's the NBA, like, they listen to me. They know, like, all right, look, Cleveland Cavaliers will end the Magic. Buried out at 7 o'clock. Can we get a sweep? Is this the only series, Kevin, I'm saying, like, just get a sweep? It's like, well, Donnie, you just said you love more basketball. I don't know if I love this series at all. So let's end this quickly for the Cavaliers, but also getting to the point, Knight. And again, we are going to handicap this game in the next segment. Sixers and the Knicks. 5.5-point spread across the board. Opening line, and that one was 2.5. Everybody buying into the Sixers. Got some viewpoints here and some props that I do like in that game. And then the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers at night. Lakers are a 1-point favorite. But if anybody out there goes, Donnie, I'm not handicapping that game. The Nuggets just beat the Lakers. You know what I tell them, Kevin? You're right. I can't even argue with that logic. Don't look at any numbers. Don't look at the home team must win. And just say, anytime, anywhere, it doesn't matter. The Nuggets will beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Exciting night, which includes the draft. We'll get to that and much, much more. Major League Baseball, we got you covered right here on Moneyline on a Thursday afternoon on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Had an outrageously good night last night in the RBI market. Just missed on one of Kevin's fresh ones last night. Posted them on Twitter this morning. I won, actually, if I had three round robins. Won every one of them. Didn't sweep, though. Swept one of them. Was $100 paid back, like, almost, I don't know, $500 or $600. The second one, I got 2 out of 3, which $100 paid back, I don't know, I think it was like $80 in profit, Kevin. And the third one, 2 RBIs, three-man round robin. Got 2 of them in the door. $100 paid, $950. And I was 1 RBI short, Kevin, because you know when you hit the 3-bomb on that, it was $3,000. I was just short. And here's how it played out, too. I can't be mad, because I picked up like $1,200 or $1,300 last night. You'll take that every time. Like, lay out $400 or $300 and bring back $1,200. That's the greatest night of all time. Gamblers know that. It's awesome. You love it. It buoys you for a couple weeks here. But having said that, Salvador Perez, who had Soto to get 2 RBI, which he got it. Freddie Freeman to get 2 RBI, which he was getting snaked all game long, Kevin. Top of the ninth inning, 2 outs, 2 runners on, double in the, or a single in the gap with runners on second and third. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Here's how it played out, Kevin. Salvador Perez early in the game gets an RBI for the Kansas City Royals. I'm like, okay. Because I didn't even know if I was even going to hit any of them at that point, right? He was like the first RBI on the board. We'll see how it goes. Kevin, I had second and third with 1 out. Salvador Perez at the plate. They intentionally walked him.
Like, oh.
He puts the ball in play, Kevin.
Oh,
it's $3,000. They intentionally walked him. It was like, because it was one of those where I don't like to, it's too much to watch it live. So I watch it through my phone, I set my notifications, and I turn it off. And no buzzing happened for like 5 minutes. So I'm like, all right, damn. He probably, you know, lined into third base, a double play. Or at least, you know, if he struck out, so be it here. When I put that back on, it's all, he got walked. And then like the next two guys like got out. Like, you got to be kidding me at that. So it was a great night overall. Almost the perfect night, but when I put that in, I'm like, Kev would appreciate this. Like, why are you only going 1 RBI? Go 2 RBIs in certain instances, and it worked out in spades. So that was a nice, basically, 9-1 parlay hit with a unit on it. So that one came in. Wanted to get that out of the way. Yep, day baseball this afternoon. There's a couple shots I like a little bit later. We'll go over those. But Philadelphia 76ers, New York Knicks tonight, 5.5-point spread. Early thoughts, like, are the Sixers just supposed to smoke the Knicks? Because JY was on with us this morning, and he basically has that feeling. He'd be shocked if the Knicks won. I can't figure out, like, it can't be a foregone conclusion. I would love it as a Sixer fan. It can't be that easy, can it?
Look, you're right. It is not that easy. Although, I guess the point, Donnie, is, if the Sixers smoked them, would that be stunning to you? Like, based on what we've seen here, based on Philly's home crowd, first quarter, you know what I think the thing is, Donnie? Sixers up 16 at the end of the first quarter, and just when you think you can go to bed, you'd be like, hold on a minute now, what's that third quarter score? I think it's one of those things that could be hard to put them away.
Yeah.
I think Brunson finally has to have his big game, though, if the Knicks are going to really hang here, no?
I think he does. I think he has a good night tonight. And it's not really, like, when you watch his game, like, he'll make three-point shots, but he's almost that old-school guy that's like, yeah, I grew up without a three-point line. Like, I'm shooting 17-footers, 15-footers, getting to the rim, getting to the free-throw line, whereas it's great where if you're Dante DiVincenzo is able to shoot, like, 15 three-point shots a game. He's wide open at the three-point line because you see Jaylen going in amongst the trees here and just kicking it back out for that wide-open triple. Josh Hart's been fantastic. I get all that. But the guy I'm actually looking at tonight, right? I'm trying to find, like, where would you be looking and try to find that edge? Sure, it could be Tyrese Maxey. It's got a high prop, of course. Joel Embiid to score 30 points tonight. It's minus 180 or minus 190. It's like, what? Like, come on now. Like, who? Like, that's one injury, one hobbled, and one okay game away from scoring 27 points and not cashing. I'm sort of leaning on Kyle Lowry over three-point shots. Minus 113 over 1.5. Made two in the past two games. But sort of that, like, I'm home now. It's the home crowd. And I buy into stuff like this, too. Villanova, Kevin, after the Knicks at Game 2 won it. Villanova's Twitter account put out how proud they are of Dante DiVincenzo, Hart, and also Jalen Brunson. Didn't go over all that well in the city. Now, you say to yourself, well, that doesn't really make a difference. I laugh at stuff like that, but I know how Kyle Lowry's mind actually works. Oh, so I'm from Philly. I played at Nova. Bad. I live in the city at this point. They're congratulating all these Nova guys. Yep. All right, let me see what happens. And I'm not saying, like, oh, this is the Kyle Lowry game, Kevin, where he goes and, like, you know, eats up seven triples. Like, I need two triples tonight. I think he shoots at least five, knocks down two. That's my angle of conspiracy tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that one bit. I mean, if you think about Kyle Lowry, this is a postseason proven player. So he's going to be ready to rock. He's absolutely going to be ready to rock. This is why the Brunson stuff's interesting to me. I've been interested, Donnie, in Brunson to lead the series in scoring at plus 850. He trails by a lot, though. So I don't know if I'm better off just trying to climb the ladder on his points. Because don't you believe he has to be able to, at one point in this series, get you 35 or 40?
Yes. Yes. Look at the shots he's taken. He just doesn't make any of them yet. And it's not like, well, Donnie, that's what he does. He shoots 30 times and makes seven buckets a game. Yeah, that's why he scores. No, that's not right. Like, he'll find himself 13 for 21 on most nights here. I'm surprised that the angle on this, too, is I'm surprised the Knicks are up 2-0 with how bad he's played. Because you figure, it's like, what do you want to do? Embiid's been hurt. He's scoring 14 a game. Maxey's sick. He got 16 points. And the Sixers can't win. Like, no. Maxey and Embiid are going off. And Brunson is not doing anything based on his usage rate and also, you know, conversion rate. But then you take a look now and say, what happens if he does have a good game? And Embiid only gets 27 points. What happens there? So I'm not saying I like the Knicks tonight, technically, but there's a lot of people out there, hey, this and that. By the way, the total, I got it at 203 this morning. It's up to 204. Nah, just nonsense, man. I don't see this as a game being played like the Cavs and the Magic. If it stays under, it does. There's no way I'm betting Sixers-Knicks under 203. I took the over.
Yeah, look, it was one of those things. I played under the 209, and I've had to watch this total close 5-6 points less back-to-back games where it's like, awesome. Like, glad I made what I thought was a smart playing game one. But I now, because I don't feel, I'm not taking under at a worse number. I'm not playing over when I've seen the way this has kind of just moved here. So I leave these totals alone. Are you surprised at all by the Embiid 32.5? Like, that's a home court number. That's a really interesting.
It almost that's feels really like the numbers where he was going for 30 every night and said, well, we can't put him at 27.5 is where he should be. We got to put him at 31 because he's going to try to get that. And if he gets it, maybe he just gets 30 and heads to the bench. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff all the way around. Nuggets, Lakers, next on deck. We'll see where we go with that one. Cavs Magic. I guess we could talk about that. A lot more underway here, Major League Baseball this afternoon, but also we're going to hit that draft coverage and set the boys up for tonight live in studio. It's the best hour of your day. It's already underway right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey! Triple header tonight in the NBA. We're not going to cover Cavs Magic. Although, Kevin, any angles in Cavs Magic for you? We can just get that out of the way.
It is
public hammering the Magic, by the way. Public, 80%.
I was thinking about just playing Paolo Banchero double-double, Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's playing so many minutes.
Yeah.
He should be able to get out of one of these games with a double-double. You're getting 2-1. Let's just say the series goes 5, right? Mm-hmm. If you play, let's just say you put $50 on that, right? Pays back the 100. If you can hit it, if there's 3 more games and you hit it once, it'll be a break even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's something because I think you need stuff like that to try and give yourself additional angles, you know, and that's one that I've been looking at. I don't know if any of these books, I had a pre-series play, Donnie, on Paolo to lead it in scoring, which is plus 380. Look, he trails Mitchell by not a ton, just a, but you know, like a, he lost the first game by 6 and the second game by 2. He's down 8. Can Banchero make that up back home, Donnie? Plus 380 for the series? Maybe so.
That's what you want to see here. Score update here. Pittsburgh 5, Milwaukee 4, top of the 6th inning. Cleveland 5-2 over Boston, mid-4th. 2-0 White Sox over Minnesota, bottom of the 5th inning. Phillies up 4-0, top of the 5th over the Reds. You'll like this, Kevin. End of the 1st inning, Kansas City's up 2-0. Can you guess why? Salvador Perez, home run, 2-run shot, 1st inning. So
the carryover, man.
It's always like that's you're supposed to. When, and also, just as the carryover as well, tweeted out last night. Like, because I actually lost a 3-point prop yesterday. Everybody hit, Kevin had 5 guys. Everybody hit, you know who stunk? Kristaps Porzingis was like a minus 30 and doesn't do anything out there. So he cost me. And get, like, I went Hauser for a couple triples. I went, obviously, Tyler Hero. I even went Jaylen Brown, who I was getting so upset with because Tatum, who I avoided in that game, hits the first 2 3-point shots of the game. So that's, again, the carryover, which made me, I'm like, well, look at Brown. He's not going to do anything. He lights it up. I believe the end of the first half, knocked down a couple. He had 3 by the break. And I was like, all right, come on. I need Porzingis to make 2. If you can just get one late in the first half, you know, get one throughout the second half, be fine. It doesn't even make a single 3-point shot. So I go up in flames in that one. So that hurt. So that was the way it went last night.
Can I throw to a few baseball things at you quickly?
Yeah.
Item number one. So I have this Ohtani to lead baseball in RBI bet. So you go to the stats page and he leads baseball in batting average. And right underneath him with the second best batting average is Mookie Betts. So wouldn't you think that Ohtani would have more RBIs than Mookie Betts? It's just one of those things, the way the season started. Mookie was clearing the bases the whole time, and that's how it would go. That's item number one. Item number two, Mike Trout thoughts from you? Because it's kind of wild. He is still so clearly incredible. Hopefully he plays. Are we going to be entertaining Trout trade talks, do you think, at any point? I'm just curious how you see it.
I do, because here's what's going to happen. Because you're in a market like L.A., and granted, you are so overshadowed, even though you have, it's crazy. Like, Mike Trout was on a path to be the generational talent of the past 50 years. Now, he still might be, honestly, and he's going to be a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he plays in Los Angeles, but they're so overshadowed. But do you see what they're doing now, Kevin, with him? Which, I love this. He's the leadoff batter now for the Angels. Mm-hmm. That's not saying, well, he can't get RBI. Like, no, they're fully into that Aaron Judge mode of, all right, or Ohtani, what they would do.
Just
put him for the past 30 games, the last 30 games of the season, in that one hole. Make sure he gets as many at-bats as he can. Who cares if you burn that first at-bat? Maybe some guys will be on base later in the game, but when everybody else bats 4 times, he's going to at least bat 5 times. He's got 10 bombs on the season. We're in April. He is on that trajectory where he's going to be the most boring 50 home run guy we've ever seen because nobody's paying attention to the Angels, which, again, Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred should honestly call the Angels and be like, look, you know you can trade this guy and restock your farm system. It's L.A. You have money to spend in a couple years, but make sure those prospects come up at the same time that you're spending that money. Because Mike Trout going somewhere else, in the Bronx, to Philadelphia, to the Baltimore Orioles, would be an unbelievable boon for Major League Baseball. And they're going to let this guy rot, Kevin, and hit 50 home runs on a team that wins 50 games. I mean, granted, they're going to win more, but you get the point in the year.
No, I just,
if he stays healthy, it's going to be such a travesty that he stayed in L.A. And he wasn't selfish by going, trade me, and they would trade him.
There is a market. It's a random award that's never been discussed, but they posted odds for the AL Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah.
If he does not get traded, he should run away with it. He's already down to plus 150.
Trouty. That's the way it goes down, people. Next, we'll handle the NBA, then set you up for the draft. The primer, it's here. We're ready to go. Sonny and Kevin in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, got a good one tonight. Got a good one, people. We're going to talk Nuggets, Lakers, and some NBA right now. But before I do that, told you, I was looking for, I always love to look at the odds boosts. You know, I guess you could say, like most people, man, they're designed to lose at this point. But if you're an analytical guy, you should technically be betting every single odds boost on every single sports book. Why, Kevin? Because if you honestly handicap something at a minus 110 price and they give it to you at a plus 200 price, what are you supposed to do? Bet it. So sometimes they sort of contradict themselves. Reason I'm bringing this up here is today, Superboost, bet 365, Knicks Sixers, Brunson 25 points, Embiid double-double, 2-1, boosted.
Brunson 25 points and B double-double 2-1.
I think you're just betting 10 rebounds out of Embiid tonight, what you're doing.
Yep. Now, I will tell you, it's kind of funny how it worked out. He did not have a good rebounding game in game one. I thought about his rebounds in game two. I noticed his rebounding, Donnie, actually tends to drop in the playoffs, which doesn't really make sense. But with that said, he had a great rebounding game in game number two. I would worry, like, you missed the boat on the Embiid boards. But to your point, and I think most people would agree, getting 2-1 on Embiid to grab 10 boards when he's, what, a 10.5 prop, 9.5 juiced over?
Correct.
There's value. There's definitely
value. That's what your bet is, because 10 points for Embiid, you're not betting 10 points from Embiid. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jalen Brunson shooting 20-plus. Put it this way. If you lose because Brunson shot 21 times and get 25 points, you go, you know what, it wasn't meant to be, because he's going to make 7 or 8 free throws. He's going to make maybe 1 or 2 3-point shots, but he's probably going to get 10 buckets in that game. So I like that. I'm going to bet that one, but now it's time to get loose on the Lakers and the Nuggets. Lakers are a slight favorite -1. 217 is the total. The Lakers can't beat the Denver Nuggets, but this is always the trickiest scenario, because in sport, you know, down 0-2. When you go on the road, you're down 0-2. There's no kitchen sink game. You're just not going to win that series, and you know that already. You come away with a split, you lost the series, it's over, so don't worry about it. But when you come home down 0-2, there's still that belief of, they ain't seen us on our home court yet. We can tie this up before we even go back and play in the other arena. So looking at it from that standpoint, where the Lakers are loaded for bear tonight, knowing they need to win, I think that line reflects it.
Yeah, it's one of these spots, the RS. You bet Lakers pick. When do you feel comfortable? When do you go, all right, cool, we're good? Based on what
Final
we've now
score.
Seen, that's what I'm, I couldn't agree more. If I were to play this game, and I'll be honest with everybody, you guys all know I love the NBA to death, but we're so busy with the draft tonight. Listen, someone's going to come drag me off set, right, in the middle of this game probably when they realize I'm watching Nuggets-Lakers during draft breakdown. I kind of want to zag, Donnie, and take Lakers minus 110 to win the fourth quarter pregame.
Wow.
It might be a classic overthink kind of thing, but it wouldn't surprise
me. So would you actually want the Lakers? You want the Lakers to be down double digits then, theoretically? Because
I'll
you know
be
they'll close hard
it.
In that game. And they'll be like, oh, well, they didn't win, but they won the quarter by 8 points and lost by 2.
I just cannot imagine we are truly going to continue this groundhog nonsense of, wow, the Lakers look competitive tonight. Oh, the Lakers are clearly going to beat this team. Oh, here comes Denver. Oh, God, Denver's up big. Wow, the Lakers will never touch them. And again, to your point, Donnie, if the Nuggets are up 10 at half, and maybe that's like to some degree, maybe I'm zagging the wrong way and just take Nuggets first half.
Yeah.
Because if you're Denver on a pride end of it, aren't you tired of spotting this team 15-point leads?
Yep, absolutely. By the way, it's one of those They're not. LeBron doesn't have legacy games left. Like, if they get swept that again, tough scene, back to back years, right? But like, you know what I mean? Like, a legacy game is like, boy, I've been in this spot twice, and I need this for people to think I'm a good basketball player. There is no NBA Finals Game 7. He loses. It's not a legacy game for LeBron James. It just isn't anymore. But I feel like this is one of those where it's like, I know I'm getting older here. I'm still at basically the peak of my game. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go out 0-4, right? So even if we lose game number 5, you know, in a gentleman sweep in Denver, so be it. Tonight I'm going to show the world that we're not going out like punks, which means like we're getting swept again. That triple-double for LeBron at 6-1 is really good. And typically in the past you'd say like, LeBron James isn't really a triple-double guy. He's a de facto point guard now, which means you used to worry about Kevin, like the assists, like, oh, he's going to get his 35. He's going to get his 9 or 10 boards, but maybe 4 or 5 assists because he's talented and guys will be open when they double-team him. I look at this and go, you're probably betting the triple-double. It's just on the rebounds now. Like, I actually think he's getting 10 assists tonight and has a big game. I just need rebounds tonight. I think Bron has a big night, 6-1.
I'm waiting for his assist drop-off game because I've bet Jokic to lead the series in assists before it began. So, but it might not come tonight, Donnie. I just don't actually believe LeBron is going to give you double-digit dimes all 4, 5, 6 games in this season.
I think he goes nuts tonight. Do you know why I think he goes nuts, too? Because when I think about assists, I don't think of 2-on-1 fast breaks, let me throw you the hoop, I get an easy one. Or Anthony Davis on the low block, let me lob it down there, he takes like a you know, pivot step, lays it in, and away we go. I love secondary options, and that team loves to shoot three-point shots. LeBron has the ball in his hands. D'Lo's on the left. Quick little five-foot pass. Three ball goes down. That's an assist. Like, that's why you look at – when we all say, like, Jokic is a great player, and he is fantastic. The offense runs through him. How many times do you see the dribble handoff three-point shot that he gets the assist on? He didn't really do anything. He just flipped the ball 2 feet here and got a triple because he was a big body that could actually throw a block – actually, not a block, pick, excuse me, at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just feeling LeBron James. I don't know if they can win this game, but I know it's not going to be like, ha, LeBron in a big moment, 14 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists.
I wonder, though, Donnie, like, if you're looking for the big LeBron night, which I think will come before the series is over, is it points? Doesn't he at some point have to score 30-plus? Maybe a PRA, though. I mean, look, 6-1, right? You're hunting a bigger ticket. I understand what you're talking about here, right? But for the straight players, on your logic that I don't
disagree with... His PRA is so high, too, aren't they now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, mid-40s?
Oh, they have to be with the way things are.
I remember I had like, there was like a, I bet, maybe this may be like a week and a half ago, bet his PRA at 43.5. Like, dude went for like 25, 8, and 9, and I didn't get it. I'm like sometimes you don't think about it. Like, yeah, he's just going to get that. And like, well, wait a second, 43.5. Basically, it means like, you know, 20, 10, and 10 didn't even get it done, which is impressive. But I just, like, here's what I need here, LeBron James. And I think it's coming tonight. 7 points. 3 rebounds, 4 assists first quarter. Like, yeah, he's on it. Like, he's on it.
Yeah, we're good to go?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to doubt him because it's such a big spot. I think AD's fascinating, right? Because AD was great in game 1 scoring. And game 2, if you only look at the box score, was incredible. But he didn't score for basically the last 20 minutes of basketball. So what do you get out of Anthony Davis in this game? Offensively, I think is a really big question. First quarter points, those are always expensive, is the issue. You're never getting discounts on AD in the first quarter because he's so used to playing the full first quarter. So those numbers kind of get juiced up and moved around then.
No, it's a good one. Triple header tonight. Like, I know 365, I've been betting a lot with them because they let me bet a decent amount on 30% odds boost for same-game parlays. So I'm going to try to get one together tonight in that environment. But a good card overall that if I'm looking at the numbers, like, I like the Sixers game to go over. I actually, like, 201s are out here, 202s for Cleveland. I still think that game goes under because I just don't think the Orlando Magic can get to 100 points. And I'll just keep with that and say, all right, that game is destined to be played in the 90s. So I'll take the under 201 there in that spot. So that's where I'm living tonight. 7 o'clock, 7:30, and 10 p.m. Now we only have about a minute or less to go in this segment. So let's start to set up the NFL draft on what we're going to go over. Boys are in studio tonight, all round number one, which is tonight. And by the way, I love the NFL does that. Smart move here. Put round one in prime time. It never disappoints. Day number two is rounds 2 and 3. Then on Saturday, the rest of the draft does finish out. I want to see if there's any options tonight from Kevin that not only can you make money, money on, but something to look out for. Like, do we have any surprises in this draft? Do we have any teams moving up from 22, 23 into the top 10 and shock people? Are we going to look, Kevin, at that third pick tonight when the New England Patriots are on the board and it turns out that it's a wide receiver and not a quarterback? Like, I want chaos moments tonight. And that's what we're going to hunt down. So let's prime that NFL draft for tonight. Let's have some fun and see what we find out. It's Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, people, having some fun here on a Thursday afternoon. Draft night tonight, big day for the Sports Grid Network. Live coverage all the way through round number one. Stars in the studio tonight. Can it be? So before we get to the actual draft itself, K-Dub, you're going to be live in the house. Let the people know the atmosphere, what we're doing tonight. It's not just a straight-up starchy telecast like, okay, here's pick one, here's pick two. Like, we're looking to make money tonight and have some fun.
Yes, we are. We're live at 7:30. We're going to go through the cards. I've made sure every bet I'm on for the draft I've tweeted out to people because it will move, right? Ideally, this is information. It's not, hey guys, I like Brunson's threes tonight. You know, oh my God, it's 6.5 now, Kev. What happened here? So I want to make sure that you guys can get involved as quickly as possible. But also, there's going to come a point where we're live at 7:30. Maybe some additions come in between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. Perhaps there are live wagers possible. We've reached out to a number of sports books here at Sports Grid, and we believe there are going to be live options primarily on the FanDuel sports book, which means we're going to be able to jump in the mix. As that happens, at 8 o'clock, the coverage, of course, ramps up with the live draft beginning. Ben Stevens will lead the charge with Joe Lisi. In studio as well with myself will be Mike Blewett, Warren Sharp, and Adam Kaplan. So it's a packed house. It's a big atmosphere. We are live until midnight tonight. Everything that you need for round number one.
And also, when you take a look at the draft tonight, like, it doesn't interest me a ton outside of the intrigue, but there are some things that I do like and get impressed by, because the things that get monotonous for me are like first offensive lineman to be drafted, first wideout to be drafted. We've been talking about these for like months and months and months. Who's going number two? But if you do look at the FanDuel draft specials market, that's where you can have fun. That's where the draft's like, you know what? It brings out the, well, first offensive lineman is going to be for, again, the New Orleans Saints. Like, sure, if you're making money, got inside information, that's fun. But me as a gambler, you know me. Like, I don't have, if I was just having fun, it would just be like, hey, man, day one of Major League Baseball season, we're firing best bets left and right. How much fun is this? Same thing with the NFL. It's not the way I get down. Like, if I love to bet, if I feel I have a great opinion on the game and or information that lets me have that opinion. But I look at some of these and I'm saying, like, you can have, like, Denver Broncos to draft either Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. And it doesn't even say, like, what round. It's just who draft them at plus 125. Three or more offensive linemen picked in the top 10, plus 200. Like, these markets seem awesome. And also, it's not just like, you know, sometimes, Kevin, they just give, like, these, like, okay, check this out. J.J. McCarthy to be drafted in the second round, 50-1. It's like, well, I'm not doing that because that's not going to happen in this. Like, I like legitimate chances, like 5-1 or less. Like, oh, you know what? First four players drafted ought to be quarterbacks at 3-1. Fun stuff here. Is there any in this outside of individuality? Have you taken a look at these markets?
I've gone through them, Donnie. Some of the long shots have been a little bit tougher for me to wrap my head around in terms of full value. But what I mean by it is the draft specials, right? Yeah. I'll give people, though, a number that I mentioned a little bit ago, which was the Dolphins' first draft pick to be a wide receiver, plus 850, which is a nice number. They've been linked to Xavier Worthy today. Mike McDaniel seems like he wants to break the NFL. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and they're going to add the kid that broke the 40-yard dash record at the combine. That sounds interesting. And again, those links have been from a couple of places, Albert Breer and Field Yates specifically. I think the way that that doesn't happen is Worthy's already off the board. The Dolphins pick at 21. I think one of the things we're going to be trying to figure out, Donnie, is who is moving up. We always talk, and understandably, who's moving up for a quarterback? Yes. Donnie, our birds, I think, are going to get on the move today. I really do. I think they move up and take corner inside the teams coming up from 22, which I'm really excited about.
Who do they come up for? Cooper DeJean? Kool-Aid McKinstry? Because that's actually
yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry had a low number, like 28-29.5 is his over-under, which I thought was very surprising for a guy that, you know, is supposed to perform, but I know he has the issues with his foot injury, didn't get the show out, and I always know, like, NFL teams hate that, like, oh, he can't work out? Well, I don't think he's as good as his tape is. I get a kick out of that. If that was the case, that Marvin Harrison Jr. should be 25th because he refused to work out for anybody under their terms.
Yeah, that is... the medical stuff is always very weird, right? One of the, I'm sure you've heard the name, Laiatu Latu, the UCLA edge rusher. They're like, he had to retire 2 years ago for neck surgery. But he then came back and was dominant at Washington. Yeah. But people are like, yeah, but he did have the neck problem. So nobody knows what to do with him. There were points, Donnie, where people thought he would go eighth. I've seen mocks have him going 28th, right? I mean, you want to talk about a wide range of outcomes for that kid. What are you rooting for as an Eagle fan? Because here's the thing. If you look at mocks, there's two positions being talked about.
Yeah.
Cornerback and offensive line.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm tired of the plan for the future offensive line stuff. If Stoutland's as good as he is, if Lane Johnson's as good as he is, if Kelsey's going to be around the team mentoring people, you can get one of those in the second, third, fourth. I don't care. Okay? And figure it out. Didn't they draft Mailata, like, out of Australian rugby? Enough of this first-round tackle to sit there. Come on. Come on. This has to be
like a 19-year-old kid, like, 5 years, 6 years ago. I was like, I don't know if he ever going to work out. He's basically like a top three pick in the NFL that you stole in the seventh round because he's like, real athletic. We got a good offensive line. We can teach him the ropes here. You can never fault a team, and I won't do it, for taking offensive linemen in the first round that are really good. Because that's how you win football games. But as I say that, Kevin, that's how you win football games. Championships, a little bit different. Because windows do change. And if you look, and I guess we're Eagle fans, so we'll talk about them. The Eagles won't benefit from taking a offensive tackle that will be your starter for Lane Johnson in 3 years, but might be able to fill in for a game or two. Will it help? Yes. But let's just say, I don't know, Brock Bowers is there when you're drafting. Well, that could help you this year and next year, which really is that sweet spot in saying, we're just going to get an because the first, I always believe this, Kevin. If you're an NFL team, your first round pick has absolutely nothing to do with your depth chart. You just take the most high impact guy that you know when you draft him, Kevin, and you show up to training camp, yeah, he's a starter. We got a starter in round number one. I never believe the, all right, we're going to go defensive end when we have two studs, but we'll work him in, and you know, next year, maybe 3 years down the line, he'll be our starter. I never believe in that, which again, theory, offensive line, it does work, but if you're going to draft offensive line round one, and it's like, yeah, well, he doesn't start, like, I understand what you tried to do, but how does that help you this year? Do you see what I mean?
Yes. No, I absolutely do. That's, and here's the other thing. The idea that the Eagles are going to trade up to take Lane Johnson's replacement in 3 years? I can't, Donnie. I can't, because everyone's like, man, Howie's going crazy. He's called every single team. He called the Bears. He's trying to get up to one for an offensive tackle replacement.
Exactly.
Cut it out.
So nobody can get it there. Yeah, how'd that work out with Dillard there? Hey, we got our offensive swing tackle for the next 10 years. Guy's not even in the NFL anymore. Stop this future planning. Take the superstar today. You know who usually does that? The Dallas Cowboys. Even though it doesn't work like necessarily, I love their picks, and that's the way you should always be picking. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment here today. NFL draft tonight. Getting off the board, if we look at 1, 2, 3... I think it's pretty static at this point, right? It's going to be Caleb number one. It's going to be Daniels number two, and probably May 3. So answer me this question. I talked about and tried to set it up a segment ago. What's the mayhem tonight? Like, what are you going to sit in your chair tonight in that studio and be like, now we got a hot topic. Let's let it rip here, and we're going to blow by breaks because we don't even know if 10 minutes is enough at this point.
I think look, you're right. It says it's going to be May. I think the fact is, Donnie, it might not be the Patriots. It could be the Vikings. It could be the Giants. That would, of course, bring some chaos about. And here's what I would tell people. The Chargers at 5, and it's clear by the books, they don't know what the hell's going on. The Chargers want J.C. Latham. They basically know that drafting him at five is a ridiculous look, though.
Yes.
Right? Everybody thinks Joe Alt's a better offensive lineman, and everybody thinks all the wide receivers are better options, and, oh, you're supposed to be able to trade back. There's a trade on the board for you, right? Yeah. So it's one of those situations where the Chargers are trying to trade back. It almost feels, Donnie, by any means necessary, right? We need to move back. The question is, trading back from five, how far are they willing to go? Because we've heard a lot of reports about a lot of teams that want to climb. Now, yeah, the Giants might, hey, we'll want to go 6-5, make sure we get McCarthy. The Vikings, the Broncos. But some of these wide receivers, Donnie, are so coveted. You have to wonder, when they say the Rams are calling inside the top 10, what if the Rams say, yeah, we get Malik Nabers, we're going to score the most points in football next season.
Correct.
Right? Are the Chargers willing to go back to 19? I don't know. Like the Buffalo Bills, Donnie, would they give you two first rounders and more to get up from 28 to 5? I mean, they'd love to talk, but are the Chargers willing to drop down to 28? Because I think one of the things that has been a bit of a surprise, and it kind of happens in a way where we maybe don't get to flesh it out. Harbaugh showed up to a Chargers team that has had expectations on it for the last 2 to 3 years and stripped down the roster. Like, they have a winning quarterback based on talent, Donnie. They don't have a winning roster. The Chargers should not be a playoff team based on the current roster that they're stepping into. So why would that team not be willing to trade down for a wealth of assets?
If you are, and the reason why usually drafting top of the draft, top five, is because you stink and you need a quarterback. That is a luxury this year.
Yep.
Because when you're talking about as many as six quarterbacks going around number one and you don't need one, and you're sitting in that top five area, like number four and number five, you would be foolish. And it's hard to say this because Marvin Harrison Jr. might be so, so talented, like the next Larry Fitzgerald for them, who if you say right now, like, hey, by the way, you're drafting three, you're going to get Larry Fitzgerald again, they don't care who's on the board. They're not trading anybody. Three first round, there's nothing. You're taking a guy that you think can be that good, and I get that. But the amount that you can get from teams that are so hot and heavy on a couple of these quarterbacks, knowing they got to get to four or five, you'd sort of be foolish because you're saying to yourself, I'm going to get your first rounder this year. I'm probably going to get your second round pick this year, your third round pick this year, and your one from next year. If I move down like five spots, 10 spots, you'd be crazy not to do that if, again, you already have your quarterback, which those teams do. Four and five have their quarterbacks.
Yeah, yes, how far? Because, Don, if you look right now, right, favorite to go fifth on FanDuel, plus 240, JJ.
Yeah.
Plus 380, Joe Alt. Plus 420, J.C. Latham. Plus 440, Nabers. 7-1, Marvin Harrison Jr. Meanwhile, at 7, it's Joe Alt minus 195.
Yeah.
Like, at 6, Donnie, it's plus 160, Nabers. It's actually, Donnie, it has longer odds, the fifth pick, than every other pick that is listed inside the top 10. How's that possible? We have a better idea what's going to happen at 9 than 5. That's what it says.
By the way, I know Joe Lisi is good friends with Spencer Rattler. Let's bet on there. Spencer Rattler to go in round number 2 plus 260. Number 1, where is Rattler going? And number 2, does Joe Lisi have any contacts here with Spencer Rattler for this?
Rattler has somehow, man, Spencer Rattler was a nightmare at Oklahoma, horrendous at South Carolina until like the last 2 weeks, had two great games, and then last year they were like all right, and people are like, I'm telling you, man, this kid Rattler is going to change the world in the NFL. I'm like, really?
Reese's Senior Bowl was like, this guy's Joe Montana all of a sudden at this point. That's what it feels like. That's really what it felt like.
From bust to
amazing because
away.
He was working the chalkboard at this point. Crazy stuff. Draft tonight. Keep it with the grid for JP behind the wheels of steel. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow we'll be back on a Friday. Enjoy your night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.